Hey, Merry Christmas from Believers Fellowship family to all of you guys out there in Facebook land and internet land. We hope you guys are doing well, and we're just excited for the season. I love the Christmas season when everything's decorated. I love the Christmas season. Most of all, there's two things I really love about it. One are the Christmas lights. You know, this has been a really long year for a lot of us, and I feel like a lot of people went all out in their Christmas lights. So if you're on Facebook and you've seen some good Christmas lights, why don't you tap that in to where we can go and see those as well. And I'll start, Chelsea Park, right out the street, from us. Man, that neighborhood, have you seen it? It's all out and it is awesome. So if you're in the neighborhood of Believers Fellowship, you should drive around there, because I don't even need my kids when I go there. I've been there probably two or three times just by myself, just smiling like a little kid in my car, and I get to this perfect house, and I'm like, oh, this is it, and just listen to Christmas music. I love this season for that, but I also love this season because of the decorations we put in the house, and this is, if you can see it, our nativity scene from home, and this is probably my favorite decoration if you got one at home, I would love to see a picture of it someday. Text me if you have my number, or email me, because every nativity is so unique. But Brooke, my wife, she does an amazing job every year setting up our nativity, and she actually goes through, the kids pick out a piece as they read the Christmas story, and they read about that individual character, and they have their favorites. And maybe in Facebook, you can type in, what's your favorite nativity character? Not necessarily on this one. Maybe you have some, maybe you've got camels or something on yours. I love the ones with camels, but who's your favorite? I can tell you, let's see, without baby Jesus, like baby Jesus is obviously everybody's favorite, sweet, sweet baby Jesus, but maybe somebody besides Jesus, okay? So maybe talk amongst yourself even with whoever you're watching this with, who your favorite character is. Cece, my daughter, she's my oldest, she loves the angels. Nobody said the wise men in my family. They don't get a lot of love, but they do all right. The shepherd's my favorite. Mary is Ruby's favorite. The sheep would be Silas's favorite. So yeah, we have a great conversation every year about our favorite characters. And this nativity scene, the reason I really love it, Christmas lights and nativity scenes, is because this, just from this picture, you get the story of Jesus. Just from looking at the different characters, you see how these people surrounding Jesus, how they experienced God, we can do the same today. God worked in their lives in amazing ways, and just how they experienced him, I think that God still wants us to experience his Savior in a similar way. Take, for example, the angel. The angel simply means messenger. And we know that Gabriel was God's, like, one of his main messengers, because he's the one that went to Joseph in the dream. He's revealed himself there. He's the one that revealed himself to Mary. He's the one that probably talked to the shepherds in the field. And I love about the angel, because they get to just go around and tell people the good news of whatever God wants them to tell them, they will tell them. They have one job, and they do it wonderfully. And I love that I heard recently that one angel wasn't even enough to give the greatest news of all. Remember when the shepherds, they're like, hey, a Savior's born today. But then what happens? The sky was full of an angelic choir, because they're like, this is the day. And imagine the angels are just so jacked and pumped. And the Bible even says they rejoice with us if anyone comes to faith. Like, how awesome is that, that angels are rejoicing with us. So the angels just are full of joy, full of good news. And I mean, I don't know how we can experience Christmas like an angel necessarily, because it's not really fair because he's an angel. But the rest of the humans, I think we can really see how God worked in their lives. Take, for example, Joseph. I think Joseph, he doesn't get enough credit in my book. You think about, well, this is probably a little too old for Joseph, maybe in what he really was like, but think about what he went through and how he had to trust and lead his family. Like, that's a tough position to be in, where you find out your future wife is pregnant, and you're like, what? This is different. This is a random, hard thing to go through. And then he essentially has to trust God's plan from then on. And he doesn't realize all the random events going on around him, surrounding his life, are actually a part of God's plan. And I can put myself in Joseph's shoes and I can say, man, if I had a pregnant wife and I wouldn't want to leave anywhere. Like, you aren't supposed to travel even today's country. Like, you aren't supposed to travel while being pregnant. But Joseph's probably like, no, we're not going down to Bethlehem. I know that there's a census and everything, but God said, no, I need you to go to Bethlehem. Why? Because my Savior of the world needs to be born in Bethlehem. And so what did God do? He randomly, it's random to us, but not random to him. He had the emperor set out a decree that everyone must go to their hometown to register. Now Joseph is like not wanting to go, but now there's a decree, he has to go. We don't know the consequences of not registering. However, it must have been pretty great if Joseph had to pack up his wife, who was pregnant, and lead her 80 to 90 miles uphill to Jerusalem, uphill both ways, barefoot in the snow. It was terrible, I imagine. But Joseph doesn't get enough credit to be able to fall back and trust God's plan. And I see us in 2020 a lot like Joseph, where there are a lot of random events going on and a lot of questions that we have about what the heck is going on in our world. But God worked in mysterious ways then. And I wonder what God wants to teach us during this season of craziness. Be thinking about that this morning as we celebrate Christmas. What does God want us to teach us, even though it might seem random? And then we come to Mary. Mary, put yourself in her shoes for a minute. You have the confidence and assurance that what you're doing is the right thing, right? I mean, Gabriel, the angel, he came to you. He said, God's got a plan. He's going to use you in a mighty way. You will be with child. But she's still human. She's still a young girl, like the original 16 and pregnant. MTV would have loved to get her story into their lineup. But she is probably a little scared, a little nervous. This is her first baby. She doesn't have her mom around. She's got Joseph, but he's just, you know, his first kid. And it's not like, it's kind of scary. But she was brave, and in her most vulnerable moments, she still trusted God to have a plan for her, and she had the comfort of knowing exactly what was going on. That Christmas song, Mary, did you know that your baby boy, right? No, I don't think she knew all of that stuff. She didn't know that he would walk on water. She didn't know that he would heal the blind. She didn't know that he would be crucified one day. She didn't know that, but what did she know? She knew his name. It's all she needed to know. And you should call him Jesus. Yeshua, Jesus, meaning from Yeshua, meaning God saves, God redeems. So she knew that this child is going to be unique and special, and God's going to use him in mighty ways. She also knew that his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. She probably didn't understand all the nuances of that, but she knew that God was finally going to be with his people, amongst his people, in a unique way, and it showed through baby Jesus. And then we come to the rest of the nativity scene characters, the shepherds. Shepherds are my favorite. I just love the idea of a bunch of scruffy, scrappy, super tough, smelly dudes, like, crying. And I imagine after the angels left them, we see it. We know exactly how they responded. In Luke 2:15, it says, well, what are we going to do about this? Well, let's go see for ourselves what these angels talked about. And so they were actually the first people to meet baby Jesus. And I don't know about you guys. I'm pretty sure that the hospital visits that you had if you've had kids, and you're in the hospital, like you're in your most vulnerable state, you're scared, you're tired, you're miserable, and you're welcoming in people to meet this new bundle of joy because people are excited about new life. And if you've ever been in a hospital to visit a baby, you realize that who's there? Your closest friends and family, right? The ones that were walked through this journey with you, the ones that you welcome in and they knew what your cravings were and they're like, how did it go? How's mom? And they want to know because they care about you. Mary and Joseph, they don't get that. They get shepherds. They get the outcast. They get the rough and tumble guys that probably wouldn't be welcomed in a normal restaurant. They probably have their own restaurant down the street, and it's just the most unexpected way to welcome in a new family, the unexpected visitors. But here's what I love about this. The shepherds represent the outcast. And Jesus, the very first thing he did was welcome the outcasts, even as a baby. And that's something he would carry on throughout his entire life, is reaching out to the hurt, the broken, the ones that seem they don't have it all together, the addicts. And yes, the religious people, the kind people, but also the mean people. Jesus welcomes everyone. And that's what we need to hear, that Jesus is for everyone, even today. He's not just for the wealthy wise men. Like, we look up to the wise men. And again, I don't have a ton of like love for the wise men. They're like my least favorite characters. However, I do appreciate them, because these guys, we don't know really where they're from, somewhere in the East. We don't really know what their career was. I don't think they were kings, as the hymn goes, but I do believe that they noticed something different in the stars. They saw a star that was not usually there, and they said, this means something big. This means there's a new king. According to, they had books and prophecies of their own. According to they wanted to go find and seek out this new king to worship him. And that's exactly what they did. They needed to see for themselves what this all meant and worship the new king. And here's where I see myself with the wise men. I think all of us are seeking something. Especially this year, we just want to treat ourselves. We want to make Christmas super special. We want to try to fill this hole inside of us with stuff or with experiences or with memories. But the wise men had it figured out. They realized that there was a God-shaped hole in them that could not be satisfied with material things or with worldly things. They realized that this God-shaped hole could only be filled by the newborn king, Jesus himself. And so they brought and sacrificed their gifts of incense and frankincense and myrrh and gold. And I want to know, what have I been seeking? I want to take a step back and from the nativity scene and kind of look at all these individuals, and maybe you can do that with me. What have we been seeking to fill our hole in our heart with? Are we seeking God? Where have we been trusting God, like Joseph had to trust God? Do we need to re-up that trust, or have we lost a little faith and started to doubt? What about Mary? Do you feel vulnerable right now? Do you feel like totally exposed and wondering what's going on next? Well, Mary didn't know all the things that Jesus would do, but she knew this, that this meant that God was with us. And in a moment, we're going to celebrate communion, but I really want to remind us that God is with us. God, in Matthew chapter 1, it tells us, it starts with Emmanuel, God is with us. And this is really cool. I realized this year when I was teaching some of the high schoolers, that the book of Matthew starts with God is with us, Emmanuel, and it ends, the very last verse in the book of Matthew is, and remember, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So it starts with God with us, but then Jesus reminds us that God is always with us. And that is what Emmanuel is all about. That is why we sing Emmanuel, right? That's why we sing praises and joy to the world, because God is finally with us. But this nativity scene teaches us that we need to trust God's plan, that we need to welcome everyone. And in this season, it's something that we can often overlook, where we just want to come into our own little family and our homes and just make those moments special. But we continue to reach out and realize that Jesus is for everybody. So think of ways this season where you and your family or friends, your life group can get together and bless people and say, hey, Jesus is for you as well. He's not just for us. But I would say this Christmas season, Christmas is my second favorite holiday. Although I do love the season, I love the lights, I love the nativity scene, and I love the beginning of what Jesus started. But Christmas is my second favorite, only to Easter. Easter, we celebrate new life because Jesus gave us that opportunity. We celebrate his broken body and poured out blood for us. Only because we can only celebrate that because of Christmas, but we can look forward to what Jesus has done all his life and will continue to do in our lives by welcoming us into relationship. So as we celebrate communion this morning, I want us to remember that Jesus, throughout his entire life, welcomed the hurting. He was with those who were mourning. And he also had to trust God's plan. And all of that culminates in us celebrating the table and having new life with him. So as we celebrate Christmas, we still want to celebrate communion. And 1 Corinthians reads, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the body together. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Will you pray with me? Father, it's ironic that we proclaim Jesus' death every week, and especially this week where we celebrate his birth. But Lord, after seeing this story played out, we realize that you have a plan and that we can trust you. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have new life. And we realize that you are with us even to the ends of the age. Father, thank you for this life. Thank you for your promises. We hold fast to them and we celebrate the beginning where Jesus was born. Lord, we love you. Thank you for these memories. In Jesus' name, amen.